The Word of God, 1 Kings 18 and that verse 30. 1 Kings 18 and that verse 30, even that we've read there already. And simply says there, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. We'll just ask for the Lord's help even with us now. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your precious word. We just pray, Lord, that thou wilt write it upon each one of our hearts now. Pray, Lord, that thou wilt take my feeble words, that thou wilt give us help from thyself, that it might be a word in season. It might even tonight, Lord, be a word from the Lord to each one of us. Lord, come and be with us now. In your loving name we ask it. Amen. Tonight, just for a very short time, I want us to look at this text in 1 Kings 18 and the verse 30. And I pray that the Lord would even challenge your heart as the Lord has challenged mine, even through this very simple word. This is a very well-known passage, even from the Word of God. You know, this passage is used time and time again. I remember even as a young child hearing this story about Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and it always conjured up a great picture in your mind of the prophets and the sacrifice and even the fire coming down from heaven. And you know, many, many times each one of us can say, yes, we have read this passage, and yet think of the wonder of it tonight. Yet even though we read a passage time and time again, yet you have to remember that God's word is a living word. And no matter how many times we read it, it comes fresh. It comes with a newness. Even God shows us something even different, even that we never saw before. You know, each time we lift up God's precious word, we need to ask God to show us something new, that the Lord would show us something fresh, that the Lord would speak to our hearts even afresh from his precious, precious word. This time in which we're reading of was a time when Ahab was the king of Israel. Ahab was a very wicked, wicked man, and he had a very evil wife who worshipped Baal. And Jezebel did all in her power to turn her husband's heart away from following God completely. She even encouraged him to kill all the prophets of the Lord and to worship Baal, not only for themselves and for their prophets, but also for the people. They turned the people of the land, they turned God's own people's hearts away from God and turned them all to worshipping Baal. Read in the verse 17 and the verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. You know, if you read down through the word of God and you read the kings that came along one after the other, there were some very bad and some very evil and wicked kings. And yet it says here that he was worse even than all that went before him. It came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. This is verse 31, the son of Nebat. They took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Zidians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar to Baal in the house of Baal, which he built even in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings even that went before him. This shows us clearly the type of person that this man was. But because of his sin and because of his iniquity, there was a time of judgment coming. You know, we often wonder and we look at people and we see them, even the wicked and the ungodly, going on and going forward and doing well. It only lasts for a very short time. And we see that even tonight. Here was a man, yes, everything might have been well as such as he thought, but we see he turned so many against the God of heaven. And yet God was going to come now and judge him. Read there in chapter 17 and the verse 1, the message that God had for Ahab. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. God had a message of judgment for Ahab because of his sin. And it was that there would be no rain in the land for 3.5 years. This was a very severe judgment upon this land, upon this king, and upon his wife and upon the people of God. They depended upon the rain to make their crops grow, to feed their animals, just to physically survive. They needed the rain. And when there was famine, this famine would be very, very severe. And this famine would take many, many lives because of it. After Elijah told Ahab of the drought that would last for 3 years, God told Elijah to go and hide by the brook Cherith. And as we knew, Ahab would try to seek to kill him because of the judgment that he sent upon them. But God took care of Elijah, as he did in the use of ravens. We all know the wee chorus, the ravens brought the bread and the flesh every day. And eventually, whenever the brook dried up, and then he had to go to Zarephath, where God told him to go, and he was taken in by a little widow woman and her son. And we see the state of the land, even when he met these two people. They were about to make their last meal and then die. So we see the state of the land. The land was in famine. There was death in the land. There was barrenness. There was drought. People were just at the very end of the road. But you know, in chapter 18, God then told Elijah to go and show himself to Ahab, because he was now going to send rain upon the earth. God knew what he was going to do. God had a plan of how he was going to bring his people even back to himself. Ahab called Obadiah. Now, Obadiah was a prophet of the Lord, but he was also the governor of Ahab's house. You might say to me, well, why did Ahab have a godly man like Obadiah as a governor of his house? Well, probably because he trusted him. He knew he was an honest man. He knew that everything would be done properly and in order. Think of Joseph, even in Potiphar's house, the very same, a godly young man, and how the Lord blessed him in that house, and how Potiphar put everything into his hand. Probably the same here, even in this case of Ahab and Obadiah. But you know, God had Obadiah in that house. God had Obadiah as governor of Ahab's house for a reason and a purpose. For Obadiah had secretly hidden 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves. Jezebel had sought to slay all the prophets of the Lord, but God had guided Obadiah, and he managed to hide these prophets and to look after them, to feed them and to care for them. And probably because of his position, of who he was, people knew that, well, this was Ahab's governor. Nobody questioned where he was going or what he was doing or where he was taking food. The Lord blessed Obadiah because of the stand that he took, even for the Lord, and how he looked after even these prophets. You know, things were now desperate in this land. We read in the verse 5, and Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all the fountains of the water, and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So he divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. So he split up to search the land, even for water, to feed the last even of the animals. Obadiah met Elijah on his journey. Elijah told him that God had sent him to go and see Ahab. Obadiah tells Elijah the great lengths that his master has gone to find Elijah over the last while. In that verse 10 it says, there is the Lord God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they find thee not. He searched far and wide. Ahab searched every land, every nation, to try and find this man Elijah. And if he had have found him, surely we know he would have tried to kill him. Obadiah was afraid that Ahab would now kill Elijah when he went to see him. But you know, Elijah reassures him that this would not be the case. Elijah reassured Obadiah that God had told him to go and speak to Ahab, and for that same reason, that God would take care of him. You know, whenever we think of someone told to do something for the Lord, well, there's a perfect example. He wasn't afraid. He knew that the Lord would take care of him. How often, whenever God challenges us to do something, even for him, we just need to rest upon God's promises and go and do the Lord's bidding, even as Elijah was doing here, even with this man Ahab. And verse 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Ahab calls Elijah the one who troubleth Israel. Ahab was blaming Elijah for the famine in the land. Ahab couldn't see that it was his sin. It was his iniquity. It was his wife's sin was the real reason for the drought now that had gone on for 3.5 years. You know, how often is this not the case? How many, when God sends his judgment down upon someone or a person or upon a nation, that they blame everyone else? They say it's everybody else's fault. It's not mine. It's nothing that I have done. They cannot see their sin, even in their own heart. They can't see that it's their sin that is causing the judgment of God. We need to be careful, even in our own lives, always not to blame others, but always to concern and look after our own lives and not to be blaming others for even our own wrongdoing. Elijah tells him very clearly, he says, Ahab, the judgment of God has come down upon you because you have not kept the commandments of the Lord. And you have gone on and you have worshipped Baal and you have turned this whole land even against yourself. Elijah wasn't afraid to point out the sin of the king. Elijah wasn't afraid of the consequences. Ahab probably could have killed Elijah at any moment during this conversation. Yet Elijah took his opportunity to stand up for the truth and the word of the Lord. Again, what a lesson even to us all, not to be afraid to speak up even for the Lord. You know, even as the Reverend Martin reminded us on the Lord's Day morning, how we need to stand up against sin and iniquity that is seemingly so acceptable in our society today. We need to not be afraid to say, yes, that sin is wrong. That sin that you're doing is wrong. It's wrong in the eyes of God. Not that we don't love the sinner, but we hate their sin. It's their sin, and it's not the sinner. We want to see them saved. We want them to turn away from their sin. We want them even to follow God. You know, we as God's people should never find it acceptable, even to get acceptable, even with these sins that we see so much of in our immorality, even in our land today. Read of the outcome of the meeting in the verse 19 and the verse 20. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel. This was Elijah talking. Send therefore and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets unto Mount Carmel. In verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. The people had nothing to say. They knew exactly what Elijah was saying. They knew that this was the truth. They knew that this was the answer. They knew that their time had come even to make a decision. Elijah was telling the people, how long are you going to go on? How long are you going to try and follow God and follow Baal? Elijah was giving them a choice to make even this day. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. The people were happy. The people agreed with everything that Elijah had said. God had directed Elijah very clearly what to say and what to do in this matter, and how to get the people back to worshipping God, and how to get all the prophets of Baal into one place at one time where God could even deal with them. And we can see even what happened by God sending fire down from heaven. We see that he allowed the prophets of Baal to go first. They laid their bullock upon the altar, and then they gathered round, they shouted, and they called upon Baal to answer by fire. They leaped upon the altar, and this went on through the morning, over lunchtime, and right through even the afternoon. So much so that they even started to cut themselves. And it says there that even the very blood rushed out. And yet still, even no answer. You know, Elijah started to mock them. And he says, by saying that the God of Baal must be away on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping. And, you know, as we know and what we would expect, there was no answer. We know that there would be no answer because there was no God such as Baal. And then it was Elijah's turn in the verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. The first thing Elijah had to do was to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It was just a simple point of this verse that I just want to bring a few simple points even in closing tonight. The altar of the Lord had been neglected. God's altar had been neglected, and it was broken down, and it was now unusable. God's people had not used this altar for a very long time. It says there that this altar was the altar of the Lord. So there was a time. There was a time when this altar was used by God's own people for to worship God, for to make sacrifice and to do the sacrifice unto the Lord. But not of late. You know, because of their sin and because the people had worshipped Baal, this altar had not been used for maybe at least 4 years. Could have been many more years even on top of that. But because this altar had been neglected, we can see the state even of the land. The land had severe drought. There was barrenness in the land. There was nothing growing. It was desolate. It was a place burnt up like a desert where nothing could survive. You know, when we think of this altar being neglected and the results that we now see in the land because the altar was no longer even in use, could this be a picture even of a child of God, even of some of us, even here tonight? Maybe once we walked well with the Lord. Yes, we always had our personal altar before the Lord. We took that time each day to get alone with God, to read his word, and to meditate upon it, to seek the Lord's face even in prayer. And yet now, our personal altar has been neglected. Yes, you maybe just use it now and again. Just like the people in Elijah's time, there are other things that have taken you away from the Lord. The other things that you put as being as more important than your altar, even with the Lord tonight. Maybe tonight we wonder why there is barrenness in our hearts. Maybe we wonder why we feel cold spiritually. Maybe we wonder why when we pray we find it so, so hard even to pray. Maybe our lives are just a picture of the land that we are reading of in this Word of God tonight. And because of this barrenness, maybe in our hearts, maybe even then we've fallen into sin and our relationship with the Lord has been broken down. Just like the altar of God, broken down, our relationship with God is not what it should be even this night. You know, God's people didn't just decide all of a sudden one day to start worshipping Baal the next day. It happened very gradually. You know, maybe they missed having an offering upon the Lord's altar a time or two. And then the times got further and further even apart. And very gradually, it was a very gradual slipping away from taking that time to worship the Lord until it was totally neglected. And so it can be even in our walk with the Lord. We have our personal time with the Lord each day. And then we miss it one day. And then we miss it another day. And then it goes on and it's just once a week. And then it can be even longer than that. And we miss out and we end up being far, far away from the Lord. Our personal altar becomes neglected, just like the altar that Elijah had even before him tonight, even in need of repair. And all through the Word of God, you know, we read of those that took time to get alone with God, how blessed they were, how they daily set up that personal altar. Men like Noah, men like Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, even the very Lord Jesus Christ had to take time to talk to his Father in heaven. They took that time each day to get alone with God. Their altars were not neglected, and so must ours not be either. We need to come to that personal altar and offer praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord for all that he has done for us in saving us and keeping us. And we need to take that time each day on our own individual altar. You know, when we think about our personal altar, what about our family altar? Is there that time, that place in our homes when we gather around as husband and wife or family to read the Word of God? You know, as I said from the start, the Lord has challenged my own heart about my personal altar, about my family altar. And I pray that the Lord will even challenge your heart even tonight as he has mine. How important it is in these days in which we live to open the Word of God together, even as a family, and teach our children that the Lord has to teach the children what the Lord has to say, even on the things that are going on in our world today. Teach them what's right and what's wrong, not what we think, but what the Word of God thinks. You know, it's not up to our Sunday school teachers, or up to our children's workers, or up to our youth leaders. It's up to fathers and mothers to teach their children the Word of God and the things of God, and to teach them right from wrong. It's our duty as parents, it's our duty as Christian parents, to show them the dangers of sin, our duty to teach them what they need to do and how they need to follow even the Word of God. Teach them that some of the things they see on the internet are not right. Some of the things in the television even are not right. That wee verse in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, a very well-known verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. God wants us to teach our children from the Word of God how they should live their lives, even for the Lord. It's so, so important we take that time at the family altar, even before the Lord. We do not want a coldness or a barrenness in our family homes. We do not want that family altar broken down. We want to have that sweet fellowship, even as a family together, even with the Lord. You know, I know even in the times in which we live, it's very easy to say we're so busy. Everybody's so busy in this life in which we live. Even maybe both parents are out working. Maybe when they get home and children's homework's done and children are going to different things, it's not always possible even, and it's hard to get everyone together as a family. But you know, we need to take that time with even those that are there and seek to use that family altar and not neglect it, even as did happen in the days even of Elijah. You know, as we have thought of our personal altar being neglected and our family altar being neglected, what about our land? What about our land even in which we live? Our brother Jackie spoke last week in that verse, 2 Chronicles 7, and the verse 14, he said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Why is our land so barren spiritually? Why is there a dearth even in our land today? Why do we hear some people even say that the tide has gone out spiritually? But you know why? Because God's people have turned away from the Lord. There is sin maybe in their lives. Jackie reminded us of our need to turn back even to the Lord from the Word of God. Turn back to the Lord to seek his face, and then the Lord will come even and heal our land. You know, if we have neglected even the altar in our land, oh, pray that we would trust that we will come back and we will repair that altar even as Elijah did. We see the altar was neglected, but then we see how Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. Firstly, We have to remember it was the Lord's altar. As we said in the introduction, he didn't just go to any altar. And I'm sure there were plenty of altars that had been used to worship Baal lying all around. But Elijah went back to the altar, even of the Lord, back to where one of God's faithful servants in the past had used that very same altar to worship the one true living God. How important it is for us to do the very same, to get back to that place where once we worshiped the Lord, where we knew his presence and even his help, even each and every day. Get back to God, back to where we started, and seek to follow even the Lord. Secondly, he saw the need even to repair. He realized that something had to be done. He knew that for God to send fire down from heaven, he would have to have the altar repaired and sorted out right. And so it is with us, even as God's people. You know, when we know that our relationship with the Lord is not as what it should be, when we know that our personal altar is broken down, when we know that our family altar is not being used as it should, what do we need to do? We need to repair it. We need to sort it out. You know, it's not enough for us to sit back and go, well, all is not right, but so what? Elijah, what did Elijah do? He sprung into action. He repaired the altar. He didn't think to himself, well, we'll sort it out tomorrow, or we'll leave it to next week. He repaired it there and then. And friends, so must we. If our altars are not what they should be, even tonight before the Lord, oh, I pray that we'll put them right, that we'll put them right tonight, and we'll get them repaired even before the Lord. What did he do? How did he repair it? What did this altar need done? We read there in verse 31, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Maybe the stones were broken down. Maybe they were lying even far, far apart, even on the top of that mountain. But Elijah went, and he took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carefully built an altar unto the Lord. And then they cut the bullock up and carefully laid it on the wood for the Lord's altar. You know, when we know that our altar is in need of repair, we must do everything even right before the Lord as Elijah did. Elijah didn't put 10 stones down and say, well, that'll be fine, or 11 or 9. He put the right number that God required upon the altar. And so must we. We need to examine our lives. I know if there's something not right in our lives, maybe there's something that's hindering the blessing of God, even our lives. We need to look at our lives and we need to put that thing right. We need to pray that the Lord will show us what's wrong, that we might have our hearts right and we might have them back in tune with the Lord. We just cannot come to the Lord even in any old way. And Elijah didn't do that. He done everything right. He done everything in order. He done everything even perfect. He repaired that altar perfectly as the Lord would have him to do it. We see the altar was neglected, and we see the altar was then repaired. But finally, we see the altar was consumed. Verse 34, it says there, do it the second time. And he did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and I have done all these things even at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. And now thou hast turned their heart back again, Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked the very water up that was in the trench. Now Elijah poured 4 barrels of water over that sacrifice 3 times. 4 times 3 is 12. Again, to remember the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. No mistake in that. There's a reason even and a purpose for that. You know, that sacrifice was soaked so that there would be no argument, nothing to say, well, it was so dry, it lit up itself. That sacrifice was wet through. You know, in verse 11, Psalm 119, verse 11, it says there, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know, Elijah did exactly what the Lord told him to do, and so must we. We must obey the word of God, that we might not even sin against the Lord. The Lord was to show the people that it was going to be God that could send fire down and consume this sacrifice. Elijah sought the Lord very simply and very clearly. Elijah didn't need to shout and to leap upon the altar. He didn't need to cut himself. He simply called upon the name of the Lord. We are told there in verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked the water up that was in the trench." Not only that day did the fire consume the sacrifice, not just the bullock. It consumed the wood that was under the bullock. It consumed the very stones that were below that, and it consumed the very dust off the ground. Everything was consumed by the fire that God sent down from heaven. When we think of this completely consumed by God, should that not be a picture even tonight, even of our own lives? You know, when we have our personal altar right with God, when our family altar is right with God, what will be the outcome? When our lives are right with God, what will be the outcome? We will be totally out and out for the Lord. Consumed by the Lord. What to do? To serve Him. Consumed by the Lord to serve Him and to live our lives for Him. Consumed with a love even for the lost souls around us. Even for the lost souls that come in and out of this church. Even in the town of Cumber. Those in our family that are not saved. Those even and we work with. And those people that each one of us see different people each day. We need to be consumed even with a love to see them saved. Consumed to serve the Lord even in our own church. We need to be consumed by God to pray, to read, and to walk with the Lord even each and every single day. You know, the most important thing, as long as we take care of our altar for the Lord. We cannot live for the Lord unless we do this even each and every day. The people fell upon their faces and worshipped the Lord. There was revival in this land. There had been a total turning back to the Lord. But you know, Elijah, yes, could have said, "Yes, that's great. The Lord has moved and the Lord has worked and the Lord has sent fire from heaven and that's great." And the people have all said, "Yes, we're going to serve the Lord now." Elijah could have walked away and said, "Yes, that's great. I'm happy. The work's done." But not so. All was not finished. Elijah took those prophets of Baal to the brook Kishon, and not one was allowed to escape. And there, each one was killed. Even the prophets of Baal, each and every one of them was put to death. You know, the very chance, Elijah didn't leave it to chance that even one of those prophets would be left and even try to turn someone back, even to worship Baal. Sin was put away completely. It was completely put away with, done away with. You know, is that not even another even lesson, even to us tonight, to put that sin even out of our lives completely so we might see the end result? What was the result even tonight? God sent rain down upon a dry and a thirsty and a barren land. God healed the land. That was the answer to all that had happened. God healed the land. Why did God heal the land? Because the people turned back to the Lord. The people turned back to their God. Remember the text on how Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. I just pray that the Lord would even speak to all of your hearts, even as he has spoken to mine, and even challenge us afresh, even to seek the Lord's face, and even to keep that altar, personal altar, family altar, and even that altar in our land, that we might see the blessing of God. That's what we long to see, the blessing of God upon our lives, upon our families, upon our land, upon even the church here and the work of God in Cumbrough. Pray even to this end, even tonight. Amen. Just want to say goodbye to our internet listeners, and we want to thank you for even being with us tonight, and pray the Lord will bless you even here. Just remember, even as we come down.